I feel like I need to recap everything. Did everybody get all those announcements? Because they're really important. I'm not going to recap, but really, really important stuff. But Michelle is great about recapping everything on our social media. So if you feel like you didn't catch an announcement, go to our social media because it will be totally recapped. I'm really excited about that extra bonus Moms with Swords Day. We were trying to figure out how we've got a lot we want to do to wrap up this session. So April 18th is actually the last day. So I'm so excited about this day. It's going to be a really... how many of you have seen cardboard confessions? Have you ever seen cardboard confessions? They are so powerful. So it's going to be an awesome day. And it'll be just like a Moms with Swords Day. We're going to have childcare, but it's going to be awesome. I'm really, really excited about this day. Really excited about what is happening with Young Lives, how we're already blowing this goal out of the water, and excited about tonight. So I know, listen, it's going to be hard. Was it hard for you to get here this morning? Anybody? Hard for you to get here this morning. Yeah. It's been a really hard week. I'm angry again today. Does that make anybody happy? I've had a couple people say they listen to the podcast. They're like, man, Joy needs to get angry more often. I just think this whole session I've been a little angry in my spirit. So I'm just turning that around on the enemy and just turning that into zeal and using that for good. So real, real, real excited. We only have a couple more weeks. Next week, real excited. Does anybody on Instagram follow a fashion blogger? I know none of us follow fashion bloggers because we only follow Jesus people that post scripture all day. None of us look at fashion bloggers. We're all holy in this room. But there is a great, precious friend of mine. Her name is Laura Godfrey. Does anybody follow Laura on Instagram? She is going to be here next week. I am so excited. I know you're like, why is a fashion blogger coming to Moms with Swords? Because this fashion blogger is a Jesus. This is the Lord's lane. Remember we talked about it last session? This is the lane God has given her to run in, and she does it so well. She has three little bitty kids. She is zealous, and I am so excited to put her in front of you. She's going to have some questions that you guys can ask. And she's just a young mom and just a mom that is running in her lane well. So I'm excited for her. And then the next week, we're going to have a panel up here. I always love having a panel. I'm not going to tell you who's on the panel, but it's really amazing. We're actually going to have a man on the stage. Yes, we are not... We going to let anybody that has a voice about Jesus, they're going to speak. So we got a man coming up here, a part of a panel, and then we'll have our April 18th, and then we're done for the summer. So really, really, really excited. We got there's just a few more weeks left, so get here. Don't miss, because all of y'all are going to be sad when it's over, saying, when is Moms with Swords back? So we have like three more weeks, so get here. All right, let's stand and let's pray us into this morning as we get into the Word of God. Again, I'm excited to teach this message. It's a hard message. I've had to live it before I'm going to be able to preach it, and that's been hard. And I know some of you have probably had a harder week than I have, even just getting here. So let's just pray. So Holy Spirit, God, I thank you that we brought you in with us. God, I thank you that you are here with us. I thank you that you have gone before us. God, you have gone behind us. You have hemmed us in. I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for breath. I thank you for, God, if we've just come in here on two wheels and just exasperated over so much that's going on, God, we just can at least stop and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for our healthy bodies. Thank you for our children that are healthy, our husbands. God, we just say thank you. God, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you that that has made a way. It's made a way for us. It's made a way for our children, and it's made a way for the world. So God, today, as your word goes forth, God, I pray for hearts in this room and hearts listening on podcasts that they would be ready to receive your word. God, as I've already prayed this morning, God, rid me of opinions, rid me of my thoughts, rid me of my anything in my head, God, that would come through. God, rid me of all that, God, and only allow what is you and of your spirit to come through and to fall. God, I pray for fresh ground, ready to receive the word. God, that it will not just go and sit, but God, it will produce And it will make much of Jesus in every individual life listening. Have your way, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. You are welcome. Take a hold of my mouth. Speak. Speak. For your servants are listening. We're ready to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, I got authority. I got authority. I got authority is what we're teaching on today, authority. Now listen, I'm not an expert on this subject. Sometimes these things that the Lord wants me to teach on, I go, Lord, me? Are you sure? Are you sure? Authority is a very high theological thing, but honestly, it's not preached a lot. It's not preached a lot, which is exactly, I know why the Lord says, that's why I want you to preach it, because it's not preached a lot. But I am just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not an expert on this. Go search it out for yourself. Let me tell you, I will give you a resource. If you follow me on Instagram, I put it on my Instagram yesterday. Tony Evans, how many of you love Tony Evans? Priscilla Schreier's daddy. I love me some Tony Evans. He has an amazing, again, y'all, who has a phone? Everybody. Who has access to the iTunes store? Everybody. So you can go to the app store and download a podcast app, and you can get Tony every day. And he has amazing, amazing teachings on authority. So I'm going to point you to him, but there are lots of other probably amazing pastors and preachers and teachers that speak on authority. But I do know that I've got a word that the Lord wants me to speak on today about this subject, authority. And it is like fire shut up in my bones. So I am so excited to get it out. So I said last week or the week before, sustainable, lasting zeal is only going to be found in the knowledge of God and His Word. And I believe as this starts happening, because I know, I don't just believe. If you hear Tony Evans, he says it so cute. He's like, if you believe, I can't say it as good as him, but he says, believe. You don't just believe in Jesus, but you know Jesus. I believe the awakening is going to then happen. I think it's just going to be a byproduct. Because I know my God, because I have a knowledge of who God is and who what His Word says, therefore, I'm going to know who I am. And because I know who I am, guess what I know I have? Authority. It's one of the things that God has given us. Because we have a knowledge of our God, we have then a knowledge of who we are in God, and we know we got authority. Look at your neighbor again and say, I got authority. Some of you need to, listen, I'm going to go there in a little bit, but some of you need to look at your kids when you pick them up from carpool today and say, guess what I learned today? I got authority. Some of your two-year-olds, you need to look at them in the eye and say, I got authority. Man, I probably shouldn't put this on podcast, but you know, I got an 11-year-old who likes to complain and talk and sass. And he was doing that the other night. And guess what mama did? I just reached over and in the mouth. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. Y'all can email me later. I looked at him and I said, I have authority over you, John William. And what just came out of your mouth is bitter and ugly, and it will not come forth again. So some of y'all need to do that to your two-year-old, three-year-old, get them in a timeout chair. Mama's got authority. We got authority, y'all. It's something that we have in Jesus. Authority. Authority. I think it's one of the weightiest tools that we have in our tool belt. Not just as moms, but as believers in Jesus. It's one of the heaviest tools we got access to in and through Jesus and through our relationship with Jesus. It's authority. I believe as our zeal is awakened, I believe this is one of the attributes that's going to be awakened is this knowledge, I got authority. I got authority. It's just going to be activated. It's activated. I read this quote and all these studies I was doing, and I just this arrested me. I've just had so many moments as I've been studying that I'm just like, arrested, and this was one of those arresting moments. This quote says, "We are in a spiritual war, but how many Christians operate as soldiers of Christ? Often the church seems powerless on such battlefield. It sees the damage caused by the enemy in terms of governmental, social, and personal mayhem. But too often, it does not engage with the problem. And if it does respond, it is often ineffective because it fails to use the spiritual and supernatural power Christ has given to his church." Y'all need to take a picture of that. Is that not so true? You see, what I think is happening in so many of our places when it comes to believers in the Big C Church is we're turning people to people. Instead of pointing ourselves to the real problem, the real enemy. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We fix our eyes on what is unseen." But what way I think in the church, what we're doing is we're fixing our eyes on what's seen because it's easier. Because see, if we start talking about principalities and forces and dark places, that puts us in a category of we're getting a little crazy. But what I think is happening, y'all, is the enemy's got us preoccupied to do that. So what's happening is we're not facing the real enemy. I'm going to go to you and talk to you. I got a problem with you. But what really is happening is there's something underneath. We talked about that last week. There's something swimming underneath that the enemy keeps hiding because he keeps getting us focused on each other. We got to turn it, y'all. We got to turn it on him. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I love the Passion Translation. It says your hand-to-hand combat, because y'all, sometimes it feels like that with your kids, with your marriage, with other believers. But listen, you got to remember, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but that is what I believe the church is fighting against. We're not going to the real enemy because we're not understanding the power that we have to say no to the enemy. There are things that happen in my home, in my kids, that I know that's not my kid. It is a principality. It is some entity other than my child. So what I can do as their mom, what you can do as their mom, is take your authority and say no. The weightiest of our weapons. But because we've deemed this word a word for only certain sect of churches, that we, the body, we're not operating out of our right to it. It is your right as a believer, authority. As you're going to see today, it's your right as a believer in Jesus. It is available to you. As a believer, though, listen, and this is where, and it, oh, the enemy just takes a great thing. There's so many great things that the enemy just turns and makes it a bad thing. So what happens is you've got a lot of believers that are abusing authority, right? But a believer, you don't own his authority. He is the initiator. He is the authority. Rather, he gives it to you. He trusts you. He delegates it to you. You are accountable to God. Authority is a powerful tool that, just like I've been saying, I don't believe we access enough, but it is only powerful as you and I operate under the lordship of Jesus. Then you got authority. And there's some powerful things God has shown me that I cannot wait to give you that prove that very point. We are under authority. Moms with swords, y'all need to know, I am under authority. I have people over me that are helping me, that are guiding me. I am under the church, this church, Sanctuary Church, I am under their authority. Moms with Swords is under authority. Therefore, I can operate in my authority. Guess what? I'm under the authority of my husband. He's the head. Y'all got to listen to Tony Evans. He's got an amazing, amazing talk on that. I'm operating under authority. We have to operate under authority. That is the healthy way that we are to operate in our authority. God is not your genie in a bottle. You got to rub him the right way. Uh-uh. No, no, no. Little Christina. See, I don't just listen to Bethel. Turn on some 80s. He is not your genie in a bottle, and that is what has happened. Y'all, I got to take this off. I'm so sorry. But y'all know I am sweating. So I'm sorry. I need to tan. I know, but that's okay. Whew. Ah, free. Free. You don't rub God. There is an order. We must be operating under his authority in order to use his authority properly. So I've got three points that I want to make today about authority. One, the first one is, what is authority? Again, I don't believe this is taught. I don't believe it's taught enough, y'all. I don't believe it's taught enough. Which is why that quote, we're not engaging the problem. We're not engaging. And if we do respond to the problem, it's ineffective because it fails to use the spiritual and supernatural power Christ has given to the church. I don't think it's taught enough. I want my kids to know. You got authority in Christ. John William, when I walked out of his room just the other night, and he was fearful about something, which him and my firstborn are my fearful kids. And I walked out, he was worried about something. And I said, John William, when I leave this room, you take your authority in Christ and say, no, I'm not going to be scared of that anymore. And I closed the door. Because I want my kids to know, because you have Jesus inside of you, you therefore have authority that can flow out of you. We got to teach them, y'all. We got to get taught. That's why I'm telling you, devour teachings on authority. Go to the Word, read. I'm going to give you lots of scriptures today, but go for yourself. What is authority? We don't know. This is a great way to think of authority. The Lord gave me this several years ago. If you were back at the Y, I did a teaching on authority, and I've pulled some of those thoughts because they were just the Holy Spirit thoughts. So I'm like, I'm going to pull those. And this was the picture the Lord gave me so many years ago. So when you and I pray, because that's usually how we use our authority in prayer, right? You know, we're out loud prayer or however we pray, we use authority. When you and I pray with authority, we in essence are praying in the assurance and the understanding of the power that backs us. It's the power that backs us. I remember Beth Moore. When I traveled with Beth, I remember she would say this all the time, and if you're around me now, you'll hear me say this. She would say, pray till God says no. Pray till God says no. You pray till God says no. Authority is something someone holds. It's like a position, authority. Somebody holds authority. Now, if a policeman walked into this room wearing normal clothes, he or she's just another person. When I'm sitting at a red light on my phone, and the car beside me is just another car, I'm gonna keep on the phone. But if I look over and the car beside me is a policeman, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna put my phone down. But I'm at a red light, I'm stopped, right? Because that police car holds authority. That uniform holds authority. You know, at the school, and the school zones that nobody likes to follow, especially if you go to my son's elementary school. You know, nobody follows that unless the policeman is out there. And then everybody's going to go 35. Everybody's going to let everybody out. But if there's no policeman out there, it's a free-for-all. Until we see that badge or that policeman, it's a free-for-all. But if we see it, we know they hold authority. They can do something. They have the power to act. Listen, the same with you and I. We have a daddy within us that holds all power. And because you and I are his children, we have access to that same power. So you and I need to polish up our badge, suit up, and walk and talk and pray like we know we got some authority. Because Daddy God holds all authority, and he lives in us. And if he is in us, then we are in him. Look at the power that your daddy holds. Look at Matthew 26, 53. This is who your daddy is. And I mean, I can give you so many, but just on this of authority. Look, this is in the garden when Peter has cut off the guard's ear and, you know, they're coming to arrest Jesus. Look at what your daddy possesses. Look at what he possesses. Look at what he says to the guards. Do you think, I mean, this is him suiting up. This is him like, I mean, I love this about Jesus because, you know, he doesn't say a word, and I wanted him to say a word the whole time, and he doesn't. So I love that he tells them this before anything goes down. He's like, I just want you to know, do you not think I can't call on my father, my daddy, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? That is your daddy. That is the power that he holds. That is authority. So number two, you got authority. I got authority. The definition of authority, because you know I love definitions, is the power to influence or command thoughts, opinion, or behavior. The power to give, right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Moms, y'all need to underline that last part. Make decisions, moms of teens, and enforce obedience, moms of little ones. That's authority. Authority, though, y'all, begins just like in your home. Authority begins and ends with my husband and myself. But authority ends and begins with Jesus. It ends and begins with him. After his death and resurrection, he tells his disciples this in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. He tells his disciples this. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. But still, some had lingering doubts. Then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. It's been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget. This is it, y'all. This is why we can operate in authority. Never forget that I'm with you every day, even to the completion of this age. You see, when he was on earth, before the cross, he operated under the Father's authority. He was under his Father's authority. But this verse is after the cross. The Father and he are one, so he is the authority. That's why he tells the guards, I could call on my Father. See, he's operating out of his sonship. I could call on my daddy, and he'd probably annihilate y'all right now. That was before the cross, but see, now after the cross, y'all, and where are we? We are after the cross. The Father and he are one. So now he commands us to operate out of our son and daughtership. Look at Luke 9, 1. It's the passing of the badge. Jesus summoned together his 12 apostles and imparted to them, look, y'all, authority over every demon and the power to heal every disease. He gives them the authority, and leave that up there just for a second. In the Greek in here, they're compiling two thoughts. It's God's power. He's imparting God's power. That's the exousia. That's the power itself in the Greek. He's imparting the power. Think about that, y'all, to you. He's imparting the power. The power of God. The exousia. He's imparting that to us. And then the power itself, which is the dunamis. This is what he gives. This is what we hold. This is what we have access to. Yet, y'all, we don't access it enough. We have God's power. God's power. And the power to use the power. Because we have the authority. When I traveled with Women of Faith, we all got a badge. And if my family would come, wherever I went, as long as they were with me, they could go. You know, go in the green room, go backstage, go in so-and-so's dressing room. As long as they were with me, they could access anywhere. It is the same with Jesus. As long as you're operating under his authority, guess what? Anywhere he can go, you can go. The Bible even is audacious. Greater things than he did, you can do. As you operate in your union with Jesus. I heard Tony Evans yesterday. I got to use this because it's so good. He said when he gets to church on Sunday mornings, somebody always has his coffee for him. And it's black coffee. And he says it's black coffee, but when he gets there, he likes cream in his black coffee. So he says, so I put the cream in there. And what happens is I stir it up. And you just got to hear him talk about it. I stir it up. So what happens is that black coffee and that cream just become united as one. They are no longer separate. Y'all, that is us in our union with Christ. What he says, we can say. What he does, we can do. We're operating out of this union with Jesus. We have authority because of our union with him. We're operating in and through him. John 1:12. This is why. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. In the New Living, it says, but to all who believed, here's the believed, and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. It's our birthright, y'all. We can operate out of our bloodline. It's in your DNA. What happens when you die? Where does all the stuff go? Some of you who had parents, both of my parents are gone. And all of their stuff was left to us. Because we are in the bloodline. We are their children. You see, all that Jesus has been filtered to you and me. And you and I have the legal right to access our authority in Christ. Again, you gotta be in Christ, and we're gonna go there in just a little bit. We're gonna make that point. But you have the authority as you're operating in your union with Jesus. Anywhere. God, I can speak to this. I can speak to this. But now you're gonna trust him with the results. We're gonna go there in a minute too. But I can speak to this bad attitude, I can call it out. This sin spot, I can call it out. This sickness, I can call it out. Look at 1 John 5:13-15. This is huge. This is huge. My purpose in writing is simply this. that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. Look, y'all, so you got to know. When you believe, accept the free gift of Jesus, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. You got heaven. That's your fire insurance. You got heaven. But then look at what he says. And how bold and free we then become in his presence. Freely asking according to his will. Sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. See, what that is your right. That is your birthright. You believe, you ask Jesus to come and take lordship. Be my master. Be my authority. And then guess what you get to do? You can have confidence to ask your daddy anything. But this is what I think is happening. This is what I think is happening in the body. And I'm sure you see this with some of your friends. It's just like at Chick-fil-A. See, everything goes, every good sermon goes back to Chick-fil-A. You know how you're sitting at Chick-fil-A, which we're all going to be after this today, right? Some of us, we out every day. We go every Thursday, we go to Chick-fil-A. And you got that play place. And you got 90 million kids in that play place. And what happens is somebody inevitably hits somebody, bites somebody, breathes on somebody. Lord forbid, she breathed on me. And then you get some kid hollering, "Mommy, Mommy." And what do all of us mamas do? We look to the play place. And then what we do is we go, "Oh, that's not my kid." Whew. Y'all, that is what's happening today. Is there are daughters and there are sons that are crying out, "Heal my children, Lord. Help my finances, Lord. Help my marriage, Jesus." But God is saying, "You've not received me. I love you and I'm standing and I'm waiting, but you've got an obligation to open the door and let me in." So we've got these people that are hollering, "Help me, help me." And Jesus is saying, "Surrender to me, surrender to me." He's not a genie in a bottle, and he is a gentleman. He is not going to make you take him. He's just going to stand ready for the moment that you do. Because the moment that you do and you say, "Daddy, Daddy, help me. Mama, Mama, help me." Guess what? He comes to your disposal. But you got to know him. You've got to receive him. Look at Hebrews 4. Once you know him, y'all, once you've received him, just like Esther did a few weeks back when the king, and just like Nehemiah did, walk right up to him and get what he's ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. You're his kid. It's your right. You're his kid. He's ready to give it. These verses, y'all, give you permission to ask audaciously, like Beth Moore says. You pray, you ask until God says no. Again, not a genie in a bottle. That stipulation, according to his will, you can't just say, "Daddy, I want a car." You know, I I'm not even going there because I'm not astute enough to talk about that. But that's not what Jesus, that's not what we're preaching today. According to his will. And again, as you know your father, you're going to know his will. So you're going to even have a better perception of what to ask. Anybody ever started to ask for something that you just knew, this is probably not his will, but I'm going to ask him for it anyway. And then you pray about it and God changes what you're praying for. Because you're getting to know him. You know his will. Look, y'all, I had a mama that was dying of cancer. Do you believe that I prayed for her healing? Yes. Every day, I prayed for physical healing over my mama. Every day. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Ask, is it God's will that she be healed? This is participatory. Is it God's will that somebody be healed? Yes. Was my mom healed although my mom died? Was my mom healed? Yes. And do you know what else was healed? Relationships with siblings. Relationships between her mother and Jesus. Relationships between my father and my mom. See, we focus on the physical. And listen, I pray. I'm going to pray for your baby absolutely to be physically healed. And I'm going to believe it to be God's will because I do believe it is God's will. But you know what I'm going to do? When God says no, I'm going to say, God, now we trust you because his sovereignty trumps everything. But what I think is happening, y'all, is we don't even know who we are or what we house to even pray it. And then we think everybody's going to think I'm crazy. Let them think I'm crazy because I'm going to believe with you. You tell me you're praying for your husband to be the spiritual head of their house. I know that's God's will for you. I'm going to pray that for you. And I'm going to believe it to be so whether I see it or not. We got to pray with some scariness that scares us. Lisa Bevere says, if your prayers are not scaring you, they are not scaring the enemy. You know what I have coming against me all the time? Oh, Sydney's going to rebel. Oh, yeah, she's goody-goody. Oh, you just wait. She's going to get to Georgia. She is going to go wild as a buck. You know what mama's faith is? The three R's. My faith, my prayer is that my kids will be repentful, righteous, and radical. If it comes, it comes, and God will give me the strength to endure it, and I'll trust him with that. But my faith, when people tell me that, is I just turn it in my head. I don't say it out loud because, see, I'm nice. Unless you catch me on a certain day of the month. But I'm thinking in my head, I renounce that in the name of Jesus. Everybody's going to rebel. She's going to drink at Georgia. Oh, she hadn't drank yet. Oh, she's going to go to Georgia. She's going to drink in the name of Jesus. No. But y'all, we ain't even asking. We are not even asking. I know my father. And I know what he wants. And I know what he wills. We're not even asking. It's time, y'all, to pray some prayers that scare yourself. To believe some things for your kids, for your marriage, for your husband. Again, I am not saying name it, claim it, grasp it, hold it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying ask. I'm just saying what Beth Moore says, and everybody loves Beth Moore. Get mad at her. Pray until God says no. John William had this occurrence of strep. Y'all, he got strep all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. I've told y'all this story several sessions ago, but it makes this point so clear. And I was going to the ENT, and you got to get tubes, or you got to have a, what's that? Yeah, take your tonsils out. And I just didn't feel it in my spirit. I just like, you know, but the doctor's saying, you know, so we finally had this last appointment. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to put my fleece out. I'm going to be Gideon. Gideon laid a fleece out. And if it was wet, he knew the Lord was. So that's kind of what I was doing. I was like, God, if Dr. Sip tells me, I think you need to do this, I'm going to take that and I'm going to do it. If not, I'm just going to still believe that he's going to be healed. And so I go to this doctor's appointment, and the Dr. Sip, love him. Some of y'all have been to Dr. Sip. I love him. Shout out to Dr. Sip on podcast. For you lady in Canada, don't worry about Dr. Sip. He's not in Canada. Dr. Sip, he finally looks at me, and I'm like with bated breath listening, like, what's he gonna say? And he said, Joy, do I think he would be better if you took his tonsils out? But do you have to? No. I said, then God's going to heal him. And you know what, y'all? He didn't have strep throat, Aaron, for what, like 2 years? And he gets it very rare. My point to you, Mom, just ask. Ask your daddy first and see if he will not do what you've asked him to do. Finally, how to use our authority. Here it is. All that I've said, if you've not, or if you've listened to everything I said, now you need to really listen to this, because this is it. How to use your authority. How many of you in this room spent months and months researching, studying what to name that little baby in your arms? How many of you did it? You did it. You studied. Oh, it's a fate. How many of you got out your genealogy, your grandpappy, your great-grandpappy, your grandmother? You did it, right? Yeah? I didn't do it until my third child, Sydney. I just liked the name Sydney. And Lauren, we liked Ralph Lauren clothes. Very shallow, bless her heart. Lord, make her deep, because her name was not out of a very deep place. But I got a little bit more spiritual as I had more kids. You heard Haley's story last week about Precious Eden, like how God gave her that name. There's a lot in a name, y'all. There's a lot in a name. And our authority is directly attached to the name. That is how we have authority, because we are attached directly to the one who holds all authority. And with that, we can then use our authority through the name Jesus. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. His holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. His name. We access our authority. We use our authority based on who our God is. When we pray, I pray in the name of Jesus. You pray in the name of Jesus. Well, let me just give you a few of the names of Jesus. Just to just ignite, awaken a zeal in you for God and his name. Yahweh. Y'all, used almost 7,000 times. This is the name, I think I told you a few weeks ago, that even still the Jewish people do not utter it because it's too sacred. Its first mention is in Exodus 6. I am. Moses, I am. This is your access to your authority. Yahweh Rapha, maybe some of you have prayed this. I prayed this with my mom, with my dad. God, you are Yahweh Rapha. So I pray, whether she is physically healed, whether my daddy is physically healed on earth, God, I believe you to be the healer, Yahweh who heals. And what is interesting about this is not only in the context of a physical healing, but the whole person's healing. When you are praying for a physical healing, we got to get a bigger picture. We focus on if God's going to raise that person up from the dead. Can he do it? Yes, he can. But what God a lot of times does, because see, death to the Father, in Psalms it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Precious. He calls death precious. To us, it is sad, but God is more interested not just in this physical body being raised up and healed. God wants the whole person healed. That is what this name, Yahweh Rapha, it's a whole person. It's first used in Exodus 15, 20 through 27. El Royai, I love this one. This is one of my favorites, and this is a really special, sweet Hagar. I can't wait to see her in heaven. Because do you know this is the only mention of this use of who God is was in Genesis 16, and it was to Hagar? How special she is. That's the only use of this name. She was mistreated by her mistress, running, hiding, and God comes to her and finds her and says, I am El Roi. I've spoken that over many of you. God sees you. And then here, Yahweh Jireh, if you grew up like I did, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. We sang this a lot at Mount Paran. Yahweh will provide. Some of you need to be praying that over your finances. You're working in union with Jesus. God, I pray that you will provide. The first mention of this, maybe you can guess, is Genesis 22, when God provided the ram in the thicket for Abraham and Isaac. And now this might be my favorite usage of the name. This is what is in the name that you access your authority. Yahweh Nisi. Exodus 17 is its first mention. The Lord, our banner. When you do research on these names, this is what came up. I have a book on the names of God. Tony Evans actually has a great one. A banner carried at the head of an army or planted on a hill. It served as a rallying point for troops before battle. Or as, y'all listen to this is so powerful, or as an announcement as a victory already won. You see, the victory has already been won. Your victory has already been won. God has already won it. We are operating out of a victory that was won on a cross. So God, Yahweh Nisi, that is one of the places, one of the names we operate our authority. It's the name you operate out of. These are all the names that you flash your badge to the enemy over situation. Yes, I know this doesn't look good, but I believe Yahweh Nisi will make it good because the victory is already won. So no matter what happens, y'all, no matter what happens in your marriage, with your kids, in your finances, God has already won the victory and he has promised to make good of all things. So may you declare over situations, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord my banner. Because this might not look good, this might not feel good, this might not sound good, but I'm going to believe that the victory is already won because I know it's already won. This is your badge, y'all. This is what you flash to the enemy. See, listen, he is not scared of you. You don't mean nothing to him. But when you buck up and you say, in the name of Jesus, guess what he does? Woo, he trembles. He fears. James 2:19 says, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. I love the story of David. It makes the point of how we use our authority so well. 1 Samuel 17, and we got to read a lot of this, y'all, but we're closing, so hold on. I love this, the name, that is our authority, the name of Jesus, and David knew it. Look, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul, I'll go fight him. Remember, David is a teenager. Don't be ridiculous, Saul, probably there's no way you can fight this Philistine possibly when you're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it again to this pagan Philistine, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath, walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David. "That you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names. Look, he cursed David by the names of his gods. Little g. Little g. I can't stand it when my kids do on the Instagram post. They put a little g for God. I'm like, change that right now. He is the big G. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "Here it is, y'all. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you, what? In the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, who you defiled today. See, Yahweh Nisi will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." And verse 48 says, he ran to the giant. He was not scared. See, we are a powerless body because we don't understand the power of Jesus. Through Jesus, we have access to. The devil's got us preoccupied with each other. He's got us fighting one another instead of the real enemy. He's got us using other people's names. David knew, the name of my God in me, through me, will defeat you. Moms, man, take up your authority over situations in your home. If you are in Jesus, look, to call on his name is to call on his presence. To act in his name is to act with his authority. To fight in his name is to fight with power. And to pray in his name is to pray to him. You say that name. And immediately, when I walked into that house that I told y'all about, the haunted house that I walked into and the dogs, you know that story. If you weren't, y'all gonna catch it on podcast. Listen, that oppressive spirit, and it, again, let's call it what it is. There are oppressive spirits that try to get in your home, that try to linger around your kids. They aren't scared of you. They weren't scared of me when I walked in that house. But when I opened up that word and when I spoke out the name of Jesus, you not know that dog that I told you about? I left this out because I needed it for this message. Do you not know when I started speaking that name and just praying over the rooms that I was in this house, that dog would growl? Not making it up. I'm not a liar. The devil is not scared of you, but he is scared when you pull out the name of Jesus. Your authority is activated immediately when you use the name of Jesus. And we've got a little video that I just got to show y'all to end to make this point one more time.
Kind of funny story. About 5 years ago, I moved away from home. I've been gone for about 8 years. And I went back to visit my parents in the same house that I used to live in, I grew up in. Same alarm code that I always used. For some reason, they decided to change the code. So I walk in, you know, hey, I'm gonna surprise my parents, type in the code, doesn't work. Type in the code again, doesn't work. Now I'm a burglar. So literally, in about 3 minutes, the yard is full of police, you know. I'm like, come out with your hands up. But the revelation I got behind that is that every time I sound my alarm, in about 3 minutes. Listen, it don't even take God that long. Immediately, angels are dispatched to my situation. Every time I sound an alarm. So we're going to take 1 second. Are being dispatched to your sound. Angels are being dispatched. Is it all right if I prophesy in this room? Somebody raise up.
That is what happens when you set, y'all. That was one of those videos my husband was listening to, and I'm like, Todd, what are you? He's just like, oh my God, does that make you so excited? He's like, I am excited. Y'all, you speak the name of Jesus in your van, that is what happens. My daughter leaves for school every day. You know what my prayer is? God, you send legions to be around her car. God, I pray for angels just to surround. And the name of Jesus, I always end that prayer. And in my mind's eye, I just see it. I just see angels just going around her car, just flying with her, flying with her. Y'all, look, I grew up in a charismatic church. I could tell y'all story after story, and it would take way too long. But I do have to tell y'all just one story. It's just so good. My husband's great-grandfather was a Church of God preacher, just evangelist, hellfire, just preaching. And he was at this church one time, and he was preaching, and it was like a revival service. And Todd's mom tells the story. And after it was over, these scary men, came up to him and said, who were they? Who were they? And he's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He said, and he showed him the gun. He said, we came to kill you tonight. But every time we would get close to the doors, these men on white horses would block the way. And y'all, look, listen, this ain't crazy stuff. This is in the Word. This kind of stuff is what God is able to do if we just believe Him to do it. You pray for your children to be protected. Do you believe they're protected? Yes. I don't know if it's a white horse. I believe it to be. Because I know that God can ride a white horse and protect my kids. God is amazing. He's great. He just needs some faith-filled women to believe He can do what you ask Him to do. That's our God. Every time you sound your alarm, God, I need you. What do you need, honey? I got it. God, I need mercy. I got it. God, I need faith. I got it. God, I need help. I got it. God led me, last point in Acts 19, to make this point. Man, I just believe we're not seeing things like white horses because we're not asking. Y'all, I just do. God marvels Christine Kane at the Passion Conference. Go back and listen to that message. God marvels at faith. God marvels at faith. And I believe we're growing cold as a Big C church in our faith. I want to believe for miracles. I want to believe for God to do things that are crazy. Call me crazy. I want to believe God to do it. Look at Acts 19. I love the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite books. We have it, Ann? Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh, somebody's got to get me a Bible. I just got to make this point really quick. Anybody have a Bible? Because I didn't bring mine. Okay, did you have it already pulled up?
No.
Okay. Oh, here, right here. Acts 19. Okay. I must have thought about this after, Ann. Acts 13, 19, verse 13. Okay. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You see, some of us are trying to access our authority apart from our union with God. And the devil's going, who are you? Jesus, I know. I don't know you. See, I want the devil to know me, because he knows my God. And that is the name I call on in my prayer time. Oh, I want the devil to know my kids, because my kids know their God. And that is the name they call. But what's happening is we're trying to use, oh, I pray in the name of my mama's God. Or my grandmama. My grandmama prayed. So I pray. And the devil's going, yeah, I knew that. I knew them. But I don't know you. See, it doesn't automatically transfer, y'all. John 15:4, apart from him, you can do nothing. John 14:12, the truth is anyone who believes in me will do the same works. You got to take it for yourself. It's a personal taking. You got to know him to use his name, because just like what happened in Acts, it's happening today. We're calling on somebody we've never even met. We're calling on somebody we have never received. It's a personal taking. For you to know him, you got it. For you to use his name, you got to know him. Then and only then will the devil know your name. We got to submit to his lordship to operate out of our daughtership. So today we're just going to take it back maybe the way you grew up, and we're going to give a good old-fashioned come to Jesus altar call. Because I am not naive enough to know that everybody in this room has said yes to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And some of you are hurting and just you can't get out of something, and God's saying, because you've not surrendered your life to me, I can't come in and help you. But if you would just surrender your life to me, I would be willing in a moment, just like we just saw Tasha Cobb say, in a moment I'll dispatch angels to your sound. Isn't that so beautiful? I want to find that in the word. But I believe it to be true that the Lord knows my voice. The sheep, he knows our voice. I do believe he knows my voice. So when I say, Lord, he goes, oh, that's Joy. Oh, that's Alex. Oh, that's Cage. Oh, he wants to know your voice. Because he knows your voice, you can teach your babies to know his voice. Andrea, would you put some music on? If you have not submitted to the lordship of Jesus, I'm going to have the prayer team go back. And we're just going to take a song, and we're just going to pray. Man, I will just rejoice if everybody in this room says, yes, I know him, which... more than likely it's that. But if it's not, by some chance, even maybe this is going to be somebody listening on podcasts, but somebody doesn't know his name, this authority doesn't mean anything. You must know his name. He must know your name for you to operate out of your daughtership, out for you to operate in your authority. So maybe you do know the Lord and you're just struggling today. Man, maybe you're just struggling. Maybe authority, and you're going to talk about this in your small group, maybe authority was abused in your home by a father, or Lord forbid, a pastor or a youth pastor, because y'all were flesh, we're human, there's sin in the world. And maybe even today, this whole message is just, it just hurts because you don't know authority, you don't understand it because it's been so abused. Would you please just go and get prayer? Don't let this moment go. God wants to unlock this not used weapon in your arsenal today. He wants you to walk in the authority that you have right to. So don't let the enemy continue with the stuff that's underneath. Get to the stuff that's underneath. You got to get to the stuff that's underneath, or you're going to continually be going to the wrong source. So let's just let this song get a little bit louder, and let's just pray. If you don't need prayer, just sit and pray. But let's just let the people that need prayer receive it. And I just want to speak these two verses in the atmosphere. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, declare it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. See, you can't just say it. You got to know it here. Revelations 22, 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who's thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Today, even if you just need a drink, you just need a drink. Just allow the Spirit to minister to you. And if you don't need the ministry, pray for your sister beside you. God wants to awaken authority in this room. So Jesus, I just pray now, God, that authority would be unlocked, God. But before it is unlocked, God, I pray you would allow us to see into our own hearts. Would you allow us to see into our own souls the spaces possibly that are keeping it from being unlocked, whether unbelief, whether not a surrendering to your lordship, a wound, a hurt that needs to be healed. God, would you now in this moment, God, allow us, God, to get to what's underneath. Begin to start showing us in our own mind what it is that is keeping us from operating in the authority that we have been given in Jesus Christ. May a great awakening happen in this room and to all those listening, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.